The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
You've tuned in to Columbia Calling, your first stop for everything you want to know about Columbia. How and where to invest, where to visit. From the Pacific to the Caribbean, the Andes Mountains to the Amazon jungle, Columbia has a slice of everything. Shooting from the hip, answering the questions that need answering. Here's your host, the journalist and hotelier Richard McCall, shedding some light on the fashionable South American destination of Columbia.
Coming up on Columbia Calling, it's me, your host, Richard McCall, here in Bogota. We'll be talking to Dan Kaiser, an American for almost a decade has been running a casino here in Bogota. So we're hoping for some very interesting anecdotes about casino life, and perhaps he will either convince us that the luster or the glister of casino life is as we imagine from the movies. So that's on Columbia Calling this afternoon with me, your host, Richard McCall, on the Overseas Radio Network. Don't miss it.
The world is a beautiful place, so listen up. The Overseas Radio Network.
What does your dream job look like? Is it spending an hour or more every morning, every night, stuck in traffic? Is it staying up late to finish that report for the boss? No, didn't think so. So where are the opportunities for the entrepreneurs with a sense of adventure? Where are the businesses for sale that allow you to be your own boss on your own terms, wherever in the world you choose? OverseasVentures.com. Overseas Ventures is the first business listing directory of its kind. Our focus is to provide a personalized experience for those looking to invest in overseas opportunities and start living their dream of the Overseas Ventures lifestyle. With everything from tiki bars on the beach in Belize to boutique hotels in the warm, sunny Caribbean to online opportunities for those who want to live out of their suitcase and just travel the world. Overseas Ventures is the first website dedicated solely for the global entrepreneur in mind. Check us out now at OverseasVentures.com to dream, own, and live a new life abroad.
Ready to learn about a new life overseas? You're at the right place. This is the Overseas Radio Network.
It's that time of the week again, folks, and it's me, your host, Richard McCall, here in Bogota for Columbia Calling, 2,600 meters closer to the stars. Yes, later on the show, we'll have an interesting interviewee on, and Dan Kaiser, an American from the Eastern Seaboard, who for near on a decade has been running a casino here in Bogota. So thinking about Colombia, thinking about money laundering, and thinking about that sort of gray space of, you know, that sort of shady area between legal and legal and so on and so forth, We talked to Dan Kaiser about his experiences in the casino industry, in the gambling industry here in Colombia. So that's going to be a really interesting interview for those of you out there listening. Of course, I'm more than happy to hear from you all. That's ColumbiaCalling@gmail.com. Of course, we're on Twitter as well, @ColumbiaCalling. And you can check out our website. That's ColumbiaCallingRadio.com as well. We've got some interesting shows in the pipeline for you as well. So we're speaking to Dan Kaiser this week. Next week, we're going to do our World Cup special with Carl Warswick. Carl was on the show way back, but he's on the show again, giving us the breakdown of the Colombian team for the World Cup finals in Brazil, which starts, well, Colombia's first game is on June 14th against Greece in Belo Horizonte. So we'll be talking all about that and hopes and dreams and everything. But yeah, and then after that, we're going to be talking to the chaps from Five Bogota. Five Bogota is a new, sort of, let's say, an experience. It's a tourism agency, more or less, but they are offering experiences here in Bogota through the five senses. So they're trying to take an untraditionally, you know, that's not a traditional tourist center, Bogota, and actually make something of it. And even Colombians are signing up to get to know their own city. So very exciting to have those three already lined up, and I know I have some more in the pipelines for the future. So keep listening to Columbia Calling. We keep growing, and that's a testament to the fact that Columbia is an interesting and, yes, it's burgeoning on a cultural and sort of, let's say, a collective memory, a collective imagination out there. Well, the big news in Colombia, obviously, as you will have read on all media outlets, and is that Nairo Quintana and Rigoberto Urán came first and second, respectively, in the Giro d'Italia, so the Italian, so the Tour d'Italia, this big cycling event in Italy. So the Colombians came first and second, and I mean, it's a big deal. A big deal. These guys are athletes. None of the sort of prima donna attitudes of football players or anything like that. These guys are athletes. It's mental, it's physical. It's a real challenge. So again, here at Columbia Calling, our hats go off to these athletes from, especially Nairo, who we know comes from Boyacá, from a very humble background, and only cycled because it was the way to get to school in the morning. So, you know, from humble roots to fame and fortune, but all the while maintaining humility. So again, he can teach us a lot. Nairo Quintana, the Colombian hero of the moment. Politics continues on, as always, here in Colombia. We've got, obviously, a couple of weeks before the final round, the second round of the presidential elections, which are now being waged. It's a war of words, a war of campaigns being waged between the incumbent, and that's President Juan Manuel Santos, and, of course, as Oscar Iván Zuluaga, who's the Centro Democrático nominee. He's the Uribista candidate, so the candidate belonging to the former president Álvaro Uribe. And it almost seems strange to say this, but a week has passed, and I can say that there's pretty much been no scandals, because all the scandals occurred in the 2 weeks prior to the first round. Now these guys are knuckling down and trying to create a strategy to win the second round, but yeah, with a 60% abstention rate, who knows what's going to happen in this second round. But both of these guys are covering the country, but there are a few key things that they need to deal with. Obviously, it's the peace talks, where Zuluaga had previously said he would, if he were elected, he would suspend the peace talks. And then he made an about turn and signed an alliance with the Conservative Party. That's the defeated Marta Lucia Ramirez, who won 2 million odd votes. So, you know, she represents a strong vote out there. So he signed an accord with them, saying that he would continue the peace accords, the peace dialogues in Havana, Cuba, between the government's negotiating team and the FARC guerrillas. So an interesting about turn, and, well, we have to understand, do we trust him or not? Juan Manuel Santos, of course, has pegged his entire campaign to the peace accords. You're either voting for peace or you're not, more or less. But this throws everything up into doubt now that Zuluaga is saying that he will, under certain conditions, continue the peace talks as well. So, interesting times, as always, as I say, here in Colombia. You've got those two running against one another, more or less on the same ticket, more or less, I would say, because, you know, they come from the same backgrounds, they come from the same political beliefs, in theory. So we'll be watching this very closely, and by next week, I'm sure we'll be talking about it again and some other scandal somewhere. It's always an interesting time in Colombia, and who knows what's happening. I mean, we were out in the Ciclovia on Sunday here in Bogota, and people were marching for both parties. So they're out there in full voice, the democratic process, despite looking very much dead and buried in the elections, is alive and well on the streets. So hopefully we'll have a good turnout for the second round. And, well, I'm supposed to be impartial, but you all know how I feel. We need to continue the peace dialogues. They need to be continued. So we'll see. And, that's about it, because there's not really much else campaigning, but we need Bogota to be looked after. So whoever wins needs to have an action plan for Bogota. The city is on her knees, despite what anyone says. The city is on her knees, crying out to be managed, crying out to be looked after. So that's Bogota. The rest of the country, yes. That too. I mean, you know, we are in a situation right now where what is happening in Brazil could clearly happen in Colombia. The protests about the lack of, sort of, let's say, available money to create a greater education system, a greater, more inclusive health system. So We wonder, you know, whoever wins this next election may well inherit a situation that is far beyond their means and very difficult to manage. At the moment, I feel like between Zuluaga and Santos, it's like choosing between diarrhea and a migraine. So is it the worst of both evils, or the best of two evils? I don't know how you say it, but equally, Colombians have to stand up and think about this. How do they want their country to be seen abroad, and how do they want it to continue at home? Big times in Colombia. And so we'll leave it at that, and we'll be coming right back with Dan Kaiser. Dan, who's a part owner of the Rockefeller Casino in the Zona T downtown in the Rosa, in a very nice part of town, the nightlife district. He'll be telling us some anecdotes about his tenure in charge of this casino. So, of course, check us out, www.columbiacallingradio.com, at Columbia Calling, and, of course, you can reach us at columbiacalling@gmail.com. I'm Richard McColl. This is Columbia Calling. Don't go away. We'll be right back with Dan Kaiser.
OverseasRadio.com, broadcasting from Panama to Paris and beyond.
Attention investors, Nagel & Associates and the Overseas Radio Network are sponsoring a one-of-a-kind asset protection and global investment conference this August aboard the celebrity cruise ship, the Constellation. This 12-night cruise will feature the best of Northern European capitals, including Amsterdam, Stockholm, Berlin, Tallinn, Helsinki, Copenhagen, and the highlight of the cruise, St. Petersburg. You will experience the breathtaking scenery of Northern Europe while discovering cutting-edge developments in asset protection and global investment strategies. In this small group setting, you'll learn from renowned international experts and then get to spend quality time as fellow passengers really get to know them and letting them know you and how their expertise might be of great benefit to you and your future. Not only that, but our conference is headlined by Jack Wheeler, who the Washington Post refers to as the real-life Indiana Jones. Come and get to know Jack and his wife, Rebel, and enjoy some adventure stories on the high seas. Registration fees are $13.99 for a single and only $19.99 per couple. Sign up before May 30th, and you'll receive a $300 discount on your registration fees. Register now by calling 1-914-269-8848 or send an email to rachel@hemisphereslpublishing.com. We hope to see you aboard.
You've got questions about Colombia, and Escape Artist has answers. Is Colombia a good fit for me and my plans? How do I buy a house, find a job, find a doctor, start a business, invest in real estate? What should I know to better appreciate its history, its culture, its opportunities? What is it really like to be an expat in Colombia? You'll find your answers at colombia.escapeartist.com, your complete and trusted guide for living, working, playing, investing, and retiring in Colombia. That's colombia.escapeartist.com.
You're listening to the Overseas Radio Network, the exclusive online radio station for the expatriate community.
And we're back. This is Columbia Calling. I'm Richard McColl, and we're here, as we are every week, with a very special guest. His name is Dan Kaiser. He's from the United States. He's been here, I think, over 8 years now. We'll verify this soon. But Dan is an unusual case. He's the first person of his type that I'm interviewing here on Columbia Calling. He owns a casino here in Bogota. And so, I mean, I thought, well, you know, it'd be interesting to get Dan on the show because this is a different, you know, a very different background to someone here in Bogota. You know, normally it's sort of English teachers or journalists or people in an NGO or some sort of big multinational. But Dan is a self-made man. He's in the casino business. So welcome on the show, Dan.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me.
Now, Dan, you're from the States. Whereabouts in the States?
I was born in Boston, grew up in Rhode Island.
Ah, okay. Yeah. So you're an East Coast boy. Yeah. And now you're in Bogota. How is it you came to be here?
After college, I wanted to learn a second language, so I came. So I was in Quito studying Spanish, and then visited Bogota. I loved it. Then went back to the U.S. for a couple of years to work and missed it and had a business idea, so I came back down.
And your business idea was the casino?
No. The original business idea was sort of like an online poker sweatshop where I taught Colombians how to play online poker. And I had an office. We had 10 computers. And I would make a percentage of the rate they paid to the site. So, yeah.
And you have a background in finance or some sort, because to be able to manage an online poker site, you're going to have to know a little bit about the economics of gambling, let's say.
Yeah, I studied economics. I went to Pomona College and I studied
economics. Okay. I'm just going to interrupt this bit, basically, just so you know, those of you who know me and those of you who know I have a very big dog. It's a Weimaran who is currently straddling Dan here in the studio. So he knows that Dan's a dog person. So if you hear Dan laughing nervously, it's because there's a big dog on his lap at the moment. So while we talk gambling, imagine there are a big grey Weimaraner called Monty on Dan. But anyways, that's another story. Just to put into perspective. So you had this idea, and the online sort of casino, the online poker site, it took off? Or
no, it did okay. No, it wasn't a site. So, it was just, we played at a site that already existed, and I taught the Colombians how to play. And then again, they would make money, and I made money. It did okay. We had it for maybe a year and a half, and then I was looking at the poker scene in Bogota. There was only one other poker room, Jack's, which is also run by a foreigner and is well run. But I thought there was room for another, so we went for it.
So you opened the Rockefeller.
Yeah.
Why the name?
Sounded right. I wish I was a Rockefeller, but no. It just sounded, we liked the name. Sounded well.
And it's always been in the location that it is?
No. Okay. No, we started in a smaller location. We started in 82nd, just a couple blocks from where we are now. And we were much smaller. We had no slot machines or anything like that. And that was just mine. And then 3 years into it, some Colombians wanted to invest, and we opened the larger place.
And so you're just off the area, which we call the Zona T, which is like a nightlife zone with lots of bars, the Irish pub, the Cerveceria, Bogota Beer Company, all the discos,
right.
Everything that's fashionable, basically. The big shopping centers are all in that area. The Andres Carne de Res is just around the corner. So you're right there. So the location is ideal.
No, we have a great location, and we also have, which I actually think helps us, we have the two largest casinos in Bogota within three blocks of us, which I think helps. I mean, there's a lot of movement of gamblers within the zone, and everyone wants, when they have bad luck, they want to try another place, etc. So, no, I think that actually helps us.
Yeah, there's a big one. Was there one with like a guitar outside?
Yeah, that's Rock and Jazz.
Okay.
And then they just opened maybe 2 years ago at this point, the Crown, which is just leaving the Zona T.
Okay. And let's say most of your customers, clients, are they Colombian, or would they be foreigners from the
No, the overwhelming majority are Colombians. And then we also do have some Americans. We used to have a weekly embassy. Yeah, we used to have a weekly U.S. embassy game.
No?
But most of the people have now...
They moved on.
Exactly.
Because they're not allowed to get too friendly with the natives. That's what happens with all embassy staff. They have a set thing. I was actually talking to someone from USAID yesterday. I was giving a talk at the American Women's Club of Bogota. And she said that, I think it's every year they have to, by law, for their contract, go back to the U.S. for 28 days that they don't become too acclimatized.
Okay.
It has to be 28 days.
I had no idea.
She says, I don't want to go back. And of course, that's why they have it. But it dates back to the McCarthy era.
Okay.
So anyways, another story again. But so you have this thing, and it's you're a partner in the one casino, or you have interest in others?
No, just this
just
one.
Just the one.
Exactly.
And I mean, okay, I have to ask. I'm not a gambler. I've been to Vegas a couple of times, and maybe played a blackjack table here or there, 21 or whatever. And I was just thinking, is it true that the age-old adage that the house always wins?
In the long term, the house always wins.
Yeah.
But why people play is in the short term. Mm-hmm. That's often untrue. I mean, especially since we're such a small casino, it's especially true for us because, unfortunately, variance plays a very large part in our monthly numbers because we're not like, Bellagio where they have 400 tables and where some will win, some will lose. We only have 10 tables in the casino. So, again, variance is crazy for us.
Yeah, and so as you're an associate, you're one of the original owners and so on. If it's a really bad night, do you get that call, saying, oh, my God, we are down $40,000 or something like that?
Absolutely. I get a call earlier than that, and all our cameras are on the internet, so I usually tune in.
Okay, so you can do it from home,
actually.
Yeah. And it's not like, what's that movie where the college kids from Harvard sort of...
Thank God, no. I mean, they're... thank God Colombians are notoriously awful blackjack players.
Okay.
They don't really believe in math, and it's all feeling. So, I mean, for example, how you calculate the something called the hold, which is of the money changed to the table, what percent the casino stays with. And so in Las Vegas, it's 13% for a blackjack table.
Mm-hmm.
And in Colombia, it's 20%, and that's just due to...
Really?
Just,
so it's like the way they vote. I mean, just with the heart.
Yeah.
It's not about thinking about the reality of it. It's like, oh, no, I feel that the next card is going to be the three that pushes me to the 21. Or
exactly.
Whatever. Yeah, okay. So what you wouldn't do if you were on, let's say, was it 18 in the States, you would not.
Exactly. I mean, there's a basic strategy.
Yeah.
That doesn't exist here in Colombia.
Well, so it's got to be good for business.
That's awesome.
No,
that's great.
Okay. So you had the online business, and then you moved into this, and it's been a comfortable, let's say, transition, a comfortable lifestyle for the last 8 years.
No, it's been crazy. No. I love it. I'm a gambler at heart as well. But,
okay.
But no, it's been crazy. I mean, we've had our ups and downs, definitely, and we've had our bad months, good months. Crises, but it's been fun.
But of course, tourism, as you say that Colombians are the number one, but tourism is growing.
Oh, absolutely.
You've
no.
clearly seen it in the last 8 years.
Big time. No, obviously our percentage of clients, foreigners, has definitely grown over the last 8 years. It's crazy, but that's changed completely since I got here.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, I used to talk to some other people that have been here the same amount of time. They say, 8 years ago, you'd bump into a gringo on the street and you'd say hello.
We were special.
Yeah.
Now we're a dime a dozen.
But we're still less than in any other country. But equally, it's different now. I mean, you start in this area. I know you live in the Macarena. I live here in Chapinero. I mean, it's just, you can't swing a cat without finding.
Absolutely. And again, 8 years ago, we were
a novelty.
Yeah, exactly.
Novelty. But has your business evolved in that time then? Is it you adopted more tables, more machines?
Yeah, absolutely. We've grown, thankfully. I mean, like I said, we changed locations when I had some additional investors. That was big for us. And then since then, we've definitely grown in this new, second location as well.
But again, the location is everything. So, I mean, if you're in the zone of tea and you are a gambler or you fancy it, what is your, top top product? Is it Texas Hold'em?
It is, yeah. No, we definitely specialize in poker, both in cash games and tournaments. And that's what, we move. That's how we get our people inside the casino.
It's something that you offer, that's possibly not offered as much in the other
absolutely.
Casinos.
Yes, absolutely, absolutely.
Okay, so for those of you out there listening who enjoy this thing, you've heard it. It's the Rockefeller Casino. It's just off the Zona T. Basically, you swing around the city bank so you can get your money out, walk down a block and a half, and there it is in front of the Hotel Morrison, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you're more than welcome and ask for me.
All right, well, so we were going to take a short break, but we're talking to Dan Kaiser, who's the owner of the Rockefeller Casino here in Colombia, in Bogota. A very unusual interview for us here on the show. So we'll be back with more anecdotes about how it is running a casino in Bogota. I'm Richard McCall. This is Colombia Calling. Don't go away.
Pack your bags and explore the world with us. You're listening to the Overseas Radio Network.
Tired of paying for traditional advertising? Sick of pouring money into SEO and questionable marketing firms? Looking to reach a new audience? We know you want to grow your business and directly engage your customers and clientele. Podcasting is the way to go, and Podfly has your solution. Whether you're a blogger, writer, business owner, entrepreneur, or service provider, Podfly makes it easy for anyone to have a professionally produced and distributed podcast. No radio experience or technical ability? No problem. In 3 easy steps, you'll be on your way to having a professional-sounding podcast and an exciting new platform to promote your business. Podfly's top-class support team guides you through the process to make podcasting easy, fun, and most important, have you sound your best. Get started today at podfly.net and let's get your message truly heard. Podfly.net, passion for great-sounding podcasts.
Are you looking to invest, live, or retire overseas? Before you pack your bags, you need to log on to NagelLaw.com. It's the only stop you need to make for global business, asset protection, estate planning, overseas residency, and citizenship needs. Our experts have experience working in 41 countries around the world. Starting a business abroad can be overwhelming without expert help. We assist clients with foreign trust, foundations, corporations, LLCs, IBCs, and property acquisition. Need help with IRA assets abroad, capital formation, foreign securities issues, banking, brokerage, or finance needs? NagelLaw.com. We ensure compliance with U.S. tax and regulatory laws. We engineer global structures to help our clients achieve their personal business objectives. Get started today. To find out about our introductory personal asset protection plan, visit us online, NagelLaw.com. We represent capital overseas.
Okay, you're not stupid. You see the handwriting on the wall. You're thinking about joining the millions of Americans who have already left the country. But where do you go? You don't want to make the mistake of jumping from the frying pan into the fire. You need accurate info to make one of the most important decisions of your life. You need EscapeTheUSAnow.com. You don't want to have regrets because your expat country collapsed due to crime, conflict, disease, famine, natural disaster, scarcity, war, or a government gone bad. Only at EscapeTheUSAnow.com will you discover the handful of countries that offer true freedoms and unbelievable opportunities that most people could only dream of. EscapeTheUSAnow.com is the information you cannot afford not to have. Information that took over 30 years to research, costing hundreds of thousands of dollars, with more than a quarter of a million miles traveled. For less than $2.50 per month, you can have what may be the most life-saving information you have ever obtained. EscapeTheUSAnow.com, so you don't jump from the frying pan into the fire.
You're tuned in to OverseasRadio.com, the station to help you reach your dream destination.
And we're back. This is Columbia Calling, and I'm Richard McCall. We're here in Bogota with Dan Kaiser, who's the owner of the Rockefeller Casino in the Zona T in Bogota. Now, I want to ask you a little bit about the business side of things, a little bit.
Sure.
Because, you know, gambling, you know, and the casinos, they do sort of rest in that gray area between sort of legal and illegal cash. I mean, Colombia is known for its money laundering.
Absolutely.
And so on and so forth. So I imagine you're under very stringent laws and watched.
Absurd. Absurd. I mean, unfortunately, most banks won't even deal with casinos. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's very difficult to even find a bank who is willing to open an account for us. And even then, I mean, there are really strange things. We can't receive any money from abroad. I mean, just absurd things. But yeah, no, they look very closely at us. We have to do a ton of reporting on, you know, on who's changing cash on a monthly basis in the casino.
Really?
If it's over a certain amount, et cetera.
And you have to, and I imagine you have to report who's working for you and everything.
Absolutely.
Oh, wow. I mean, this is Colombia, after all. This is Colombia, and there is money laundering and so on. So it's just a question. I'm not trying to catch you out. Talking about the casino, and I often get business owners, small business owners on this show, and they talk about how it is employing Colombians and so on. Have you ever had any trouble? Generally, would you say Colombians are great people to have work for you? You know, would
absolutely. No, it's been interesting. So when we started, I mean, we were much smaller than we are now, and that was a lot of fun for me. We were much more a family.
Yeah.
And now that we're at the second location, it's become much more of a business.
Sure.
And I'm embarrassed to say that, I mean, we have roughly 40 employees. And probably 20 of them, I don't know their name, which is sad. But we do have decent turnover, so that's a
but
sort
that's
of
the nature
excuse.
Of the beast as well.
I mean, but yeah, no, I've it's been great working here in Colombia, and I definitely love Colombians in general. Obviously, we've had our rotten apples. We've had some rather, at least for the size of our casino, we've had some rather large thefts from employees. But again, I sort of understand. I mean, you know, they're making slightly above the minimum wage in Colombia, which is very low. And unfortunately, it's not like Las Vegas where you're going to jail if you steal. I mean, really, there's very little that happens to them. So it's got to be very tempting, unfortunately.
And do your clients tip?
Absolutely. Okay. I think we're probably the highest. I think people do, our clients, our employees do better in tips than any other casino in Bogota. And that's partly because of the number of foreigners we do have.
I can imagine that. Well, it's good to hear. I mean, there is a value-added benefit for someone to work in the Rockefeller.
If you've got
the tips. Now, so you got into this business sort of, you know, I mean, you plan to be in the business. And so how many slot machines and how many tables do you have?
Okay, so again, we're tiny, but we have 40 slots or 48 slots if you include the electronic roulette. Mm-hmm. And then we have 10 gaming tables, 7 of which are casino games and 3 of which are poker tables.
Oh, it's pretty big in my book. I mean, but then I'm not a gambler. Yeah. So, and what's the biggest jackpot you've ever given out?
Again, our machines are, I mean, so jackpots are just machines. I don't know, about 10 million. But we've had a player in our casino games, I don't know, win maybe 80 million a night. I mean, 80
really?
Million pesos, which
yeah.
would be $40,000.
$40,000. Yeah. Equally, I would be happy with a 10 million peso payout in a machine. You know, $5,000, it would go, you know, go quite a long way to just you know, making my rent a little bit more comfortable for the year. You know, but anyway. Now, you know, during all of this time, I mean, what are your parents saying? You know, when you said, well, I'm moving to Colombia, I'm opening a casino.
My parents are very open to it, just about it. They're very supportive. So, they've both been down many times, and my mom picked up the name, helped design the first casino. They're very supportive. Thank
so it's
you.
Almost a family business then, really. I mean, if your mother designed it, but she's not like the crazy aunt who's forcing you to hang weird tapestries on the walls. Like
thankfully not.
No, okay, thank fantastic. And I have to ask you, you know, it's not the most ordinary sort of, let's say, career route. I mean, have you ever got into a situation where you say, you know, oh shit, what have I gotten myself into? One of those moments.
Absolutely. No, all the time. One specific time, which was very scary for us, it was probably about 3 years ago at this point. I mean, we have, you know, a limited amount of cash in the casino, because for security reasons, and if someone wins over a certain amount, we pay in check.
Of course.
And we had a guy in who was winning more money than we had in cash,
yeah.
and refused to be paid in check.
Really?
And was making a large scene. Uh-huh. And, I mean, he was not the type of guy we wanted problems with. Mm-hmm. And luckily, he gave it all back, so we didn't even have to give him any cash. But it was wow. it was a very harrowing situation. He had a bunch of bodyguards with him, etc., and he wasn't happy.
Yeah, no, I can imagine that as being a little bit difficult. And when you have people sort of playing at the tables, and is it like in the movies when people run out of cash and they put their watch down as well?
It's pretty funny. I mean, since we're so small, we're definitely the only casino who we receive things, we pawn things. I mean, in the office we probably have at least 30 watches, maybe 20 cell phones, something like that at any time. But the most interesting thing I've ever had is we had a late night poker game. It was probably about 8 a.m. and a guy ran out of money. And he said, let me go to the house, get some money. So I was like, sure, go ahead. So he comes back and he has two large bags. And I didn't think it was money. And he said, Dan, how much could you give me for these? And I was like, well, what the hell are they? It was two defibrillators. I don't know if he had just robbed an ambulance or what the hell is it. But what the fuck am I going to do with two defibrillators? I didn't accept those items.
No. I mean, what can you do? But yeah, I mean, two defibrillators. I mean, it's a wonderful, wonderful thing. It's like, and I are you like a sort of like a bit like a metro with things being left behind in the casino? I know that in the London Underground, for example, I was just thinking about this. In the London Underground, they found sort of like wheelchairs and dentures and things like that. And I don't know how people leave these behind. But in the casino, do people leave things behind?
No, I mean, hopefully they're money. But no, dentures, not or wheelchairs, no, we've never had
that. Right. Now, you know, you've gone through some situations. I mean, I know that you did mention that the casino's been robbed on a couple of occasions.
Yeah.
I mean, how did that, were you there when they happened?
Not robbed at gunpoint. I meant more sort of scammed.
Scams.
Yeah.
Tell me about the scams. I'm more interested.
Okay.
In
yeah. Sure. No. It was like the first was like really sophisticated, sort of like straight out of the Discovery Channel robbing Las Vegas programs.
Yeah.
What they did is, it was an outside group, and obviously there was a dealer involved. The dealer wore a wireless camera, and they had a truck outside where they were watching, and the dealer would shuffle very slowly, and they would record the order of the cards.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, they didn't get the entire eight decks, but they didn't need the entire eight decks.
No.
They would just get, 15 cards at a time, and they took 80 million from us. And the group hit all of Colombia, and of the cases I know, they took over 600 million.
Wow.
Yeah.
And have they been caught?
There's nothing. No,
yeah.
There's no getting caught. No,
yeah.
Nothing happens. I mean, we have charges against the dealer, but it takes 10 years and like probably nothing happened. That's why I say, I mean, it's got to be very tempting. I can't.
So it's not like old time Vegas, you know, is you'd pay people out back in the alleyway.
Unfortunately, no. That would be a deterrent.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
So that was one. That was the one time the cameras. Another one.
A couple. No. recently, unfortunately, they were able to sneak out eight entire decks, and they marked all the cards and put them back in, which was obviously the difficult part. The great part for us, I mean, the part that saved us is they were idiots. I mean, they did the difficult part, and then when they actually played blackjack with all the marked cards, they played in such an obvious manner that it was, I mean, if they just, you know, played, made certain decisions and not made it so obvious, they probably would have broke us, but they were so obvious about it that within 15 minutes we knew the cards were marked.
Mm.
I mean, they just made plays that were you wouldn't make unless you knew exactly what was coming.
So you're in your apartment watching this on the.
I'm at the casino every night. I'm at the casino.
All right, okay. And like, you know, we've delayed this interview a couple of times because you have late nights.
Yeah, I do.
You're pretty much a vampire.
I loved it, and now I'm a little getting a little tired. But I'm there until 3 a.m. every night. And like I was telling you last night, we had some clients who lost a fair amount of money, at least for us, and they wanted to continue drinking, and they asked me to take them out and buy them the first bottle, so I was out until...
Well, of course you do that. Of course.
Yeah, of course. No, they're great clients.
It's the courtesy.
Yeah, they're great clients.
Like, oh, well, I mean, but it's a real responsibility, this. I mean, you know, and looking after your clients, so you've had a long day, and then, you know, to down a bottle of whiskey, your tolerance is greater than mine. You know?
Luckily, I mean, they were fun people. I mean, sometimes they're not, and yeah, that's a big drag, but...
Well, I mean, I'm absolutely fascinated by these stories. Absolutely, I just can't picture it. I'm not that good with finance and money either. So therein lies one of the reasons I'm in journalism, which you know pays diddly. And you're in a casino, but I mean, it's just. I mean, to deal with these scams, and I imagine that you're always on the lookout because it's a business that attracts the scam artists.
Of course,
because there's so much money.
Of course, no one. It's and again, like I said, I mean. It's very tempting for the dealers because, you know, they make little money. I mean, we pay fine compared to other casinos, but
sure,
still making little money, and there's not very little that'll happen to them legally if they rob us. So we always have to be very cautious.
And I wanted to ask, I mean, I spent, this is another anecdote, I spent 3 months in the Ukraine back in 1996, and I knew a few dealers in the sort of, I guess, mafia run.
Okay.
I never would go into the casinos because they are mafia run there, but I knew a few people, and you get to know people, and they would get trained up by one casino, but then they would never be allowed to be employed by another, even if they were fired from one casino. Is that normal practice?
No, not here. But it is similar here where each casino trains their dealers. I wish it would be so much better. I mean, obviously, I understand why it doesn't exist. But in the U.S., you would go to a dealer school and pay to go to the school, and then a casino would employ you where we're responsible for training everyone.
Ah, okay. So they are to your liking. They are to the practice of which you prefer. I mean, so
absolutely. But again, I mean, we often lose people to the competition, or we take people from the competition. So again, any dealer can switch casinos here.
Ah, okay. Fascinating insights. I mean, just things that you don't hear about, things that I'm trying to piece together every gambling movie that I've ever seen. And so I see the sort of glamour and the horror of Casino, you know, Joe Pesci, psychopath, and then I see that, I think it's called 21 or Blackjack, when the Harvard students rob the casino.
MIT, right. Yeah.
MIT students and stuff. So I'm putting them all together and trying to formulate some sort of questions, but it is a fascinating
thing. No, it is. And again, in Colombia, I mean, the obvious thing, I mean, of course, we drug money helps us. I mean, obviously, we have several very large players where we all know where their money comes from.
Don't name them.
No.
Right, I'm just going to tell you now, don't name them. They'll get us both in trouble. Right. But anyways, it's a reality of the country.
Absolutely.
And that's the same. So we're talking to Dan Kaiser, originally from Boston, Rhode Island area, and he's here in Bogota. He's been here for eight plus years.
Yeah.
He's the owner of the Rockefeller Casino, and we're talking about the business here in Bogota. So I'm Richard McCall. This is Columbia Calling. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
Your expatriation destination. This is OverseasRadio.com.
Worried about rising taxes, costly insurance, out-of-control healthcare, economic decline, staggering debt, mortgages, and retirement? It doesn't have to be this way. Escape to Ecuador, one of the most beautiful countries on the planet, and at EcuadorAtYourService.com, be your guide. Ecuador has been named the number one retirement destination in the world 3 times in a row. So if you're searching for beaches, jungles, farmland, cities, affordable healthcare, and a richer lifestyle at half the cost, contact EcuadorAtYourService.com.
Searching for freedom? The sustainable community in Chile is found at freedomorchard.com. Quiet, peaceful, and pristine are some of Freedom Orchard's outstanding features. Freedom Orchard offers recreational activities, organic farming, and self-sufficiency for water and electricity. Well-known Chile expert, free market economist, and radio host of Red Hot Chile, Dr. John Coben, is heading a team of developers, organic farmers, and seasoned professionals to make Freedom Orchard a reality. FreedomOrchard.com, for when you're serious about your freedom.
Sit back and relax. You are tuned into the Overseas Radio Network.
And we're back. This is Columbia Calling. I'm Richard McCall here on here in Bogota. And we're talking to Dan Kaiser, who's from the Eastern Seaboard, but he's been down here in Colombia for 8+ years, and he's a casino owner. And I keep coming back to this point. It's such an unusual person. You're such an unusual person to have on the show, a casino owner. And your frank statements in the last section about just knowing where some of the money comes from. I mean, does it not unsettle you a little bit? This?
No, I mean, I originally came to Bogota because I like excitement. I don't know, I'm an action junkie. So no, that's part of the fun. I mean, obviously at times it's very problematic. Those guys, they all love poker as well. And they usually have a big game. We for a while we had the big game at our place, and it resulted in some interesting things. At any time there would be in dollars, I don't know, $150,000 on the table.
Really?
In this poker game. And one problem we had was a guy won $30,000 and he left very quickly, which in poker, I mean, you're allowed to leave whenever you want, but some people think it's rude to leave, to get up very quickly after winning. I mean, that they should stay a couple hours and continue playing. Anyways, this guy left in his SUV with his bodyguards and a couple motorcycles, followed him. We're not sure if they followed him directly from the casino or not, shot out their tires and robbed the
oh,
SUV.
Really?
Yeah, and so the question is whether, these are all very questionable characters who are playing the game, if it was one of them who called and had these motorcycle guys follow them.
I would imagine there's a high probability one. No, but I mean, this is a kind of an extreme example, of course, almost like a Wild West example.
At the competition, it gets even uglier. They used to have this big game, and a Panamanian couple was there, and they won, $60,000, and one of the other guys offered to take them, have them driven home by their bodyguards as they were visiting, and they ended up dead.
This is dreadful.
Yeah.
I mean, really, that's really shocking.
Yeah.
I mean, how do you deal with something like that?
Well, again, that wasn't the competition, but it's scary, but
but these things happen in Vegas. I mean,
absolutely. Anytime you're dealing with large amounts of money, and $60,000 in Colombia is a very large amount of money.
Yeah, and so now you talked to me, you mentioned briefly there the sort of etiquette of staying at the table for a bit. Are there any other snippets of information that you would give, let's say, novice gamblers as myself? If I was going to come in and, I would be happy. I'm not that forward thinking in these things. If I won a couple of $100, I'm happy.
Right.
So I'm not your clientele.
No.
But I wouldn't know how to behave. I mean, what sort of tips do you give to people?
Obviously, if you're playing a casino game like blackjack or roulette, you can get up anytime. I'm speaking specifically at a poker table where you're taking other players' money. And at a poker table, you know, you're playing against other players, and we just take a small percentage of each pot. That's how we make our money. So let's say you're playing at the poker table and you win a big pot of, $300, and you've only been sitting at the table 5 minutes. Well, it's probably best not to get up. And it's also probably best not to jump up and down celebrating.
It's not the thing to do.
No. And unfortunately, people do it. I mean, again, when anytime you're dealing with people and money, losing money, also alcohol, which we give for free.
Yeah.
Things become complicated quickly.
That's routine in Las Vegas. I've been there. Did the competition do
they
that?
They don't. No, that's one of our perks. But also, it's also what brings us every alcoholic gambler in town, which makes things a bit complicated. But no, we're one of the few that do comp drinks.
Oh, wow. Yeah. I mean, that's something to know. That's something, for those gamblers out there.
Yeah.
It's something to remember when you're here in Bogota, Rockefeller Casino. Now, We've talked about the etiquette. We've talked about the man with the defibrillator. I love that. Have there ever been anyone that sort of comes in and trying to thinking they've got the code to break your slot machines?
All the time. Not normally slot machines, but in table games. Oh, they always think they have systems, and they're usually absurd. I mean, obviously they've won at some point with the system, which is where they think it actually works, but...
And you've seen it all. I mean, you've seen it all, right?
Seen a lot.
There's nothing.
Yeah,
there's nothing you haven't seen.
Yeah, you've seen a lot.
And of course, we're all exposed to it on the in the movies too. So if you were to, I mean, are there plans to increase? Are you going to build a new one?
No, actually, like I said, I mean, it's been 8 years, and I've loved it. But working nights and it's been a little tough. And luckily, I mean, we'll see. But we've had 4 separate groups approach us about the possibility of purchase.
Uh-huh.
So we're talking with them, and to be honest, I mean, if something worked out, it'd be great. I'm not sure what I would do, but I'm getting a little tired.
You could go to sleep at a regular hour.
Exactly.
I mean, I think you're open for the right buyer. I think if the right price comes along, I think you're selling up.
Yes.
I'm getting that impression.
That's true. Again, I love it, and it's been a great 8 years, but it's been 8 years, and it's...
So you're not thinking of expanding, and you're not thinking of investing elsewhere into casinos?
No, what I do run, I mean, sports betting is not legal in Colombia, but I have a decent size, at least, sports betting operation, which is sort of under the table. But I love that. I mean, there's no stress involved, there's no employees to steal, there's no... And that's great. So again, if we were able to sell, I think it'd concentrate more.
Yeah. And it, I mean, they run a lot of that out of Costa Rica, don't they?
They do. Yeah, no, sports
betting. You see a lot of people up there.
Yeah,
doing that when I live there. Now, if you were to let's say you're not. I mean, you're sitting here, and you don't resemble what I would think of as either a pit boss or a let's say a casino owner. We've got the image of Andy Garcia, or Al Pacino, or something like that. I mean, your fair head, you almost look Nordic. I mean, very relaxed.
Yeah.
I think you'd prefer to be like in sort of Tommy Bahamas. But if you could buy any, so let's say, mega resort in Vegas, I mean, you know the business, you know what it's like, on the Vegas Strip, which one would it be?
It's a tough question. I mean, obviously, I would love to jump at the opportunity, but Vegas is definitely overbuilt.
Yeah.
And it's had problems. I mean, if you take a look at the Cosmopolitan, which is one of the newer mega resorts, they have been losing money ever since they opened. So it's tough.
Yeah.
And there's also the Fontainebleau, which was, I mean, they constructed and never finished. And there was it's definitely past the saturation point. So I don't know. I personally love the new Aria.
Yeah, it's very nice. I've been there. So you'd go to Reno then instead.
Again, the whole U.S. is tough just because every state is in desperate need of money, so every state is legalizing gambling. I mean, take a look at Atlantic City. They just 3 years ago they opened the largest new resort. They spent $2.6 billion on it, and supposedly on the market at this point for $230 million. So it's a bit of a loss.
That's a loss. I mean, that's a loss. You get to hear all sort of things. Do you? I remember when they were opening a huge mega resort there. It might be the same one you're talking about in Atlantic City. It's calling it like a 300 room boutique hotel, and of course that's a misnomer there. Do you work? With any of the hotels around the area, around the zone?
We do, but more. I mean, not that we have discounted rates or anything like that, but we have bonuses in their hotels for the clients. Just trying to get the visitors into the casino.
And so talking about the 8 years that you've been here, you've seen Colombia change. Of course, we're seeing a lot more foreigners here, but I mean, has it made business grow, but how else has it affected your business? I mean, you say the 8 years now, are you approaching it differently, more relaxed than you were, let's say, 8 years ago?
No, I wish. No, it's actually more stressful. I mean, there's a lot more competition than there was 8 years ago when we opened it's basically almost a monopoly. There's 2 large groups who own 90% of the casinos in Bogota, and one of those large groups only came in the last 5 years. So no, there's a lot more competition, and we have to, be a lot more, to be competitive, it takes a lot more now.
Yeah, I bet. Yeah. Now, and the other, I mean, so you're based in it, I mean, it's this wonderful location, and do you have obviously the right of refusal of admission, you can
refuse
people. So what sort of characters have you refused?
I mean, we have a little black book with photos of people that we...
Really?
Yeah, yeah. coming from breaking things. We had a guy, a real nice guy, pour a cup of coffee into the roulette wheel.
Why did he do that?
I mean, you know, again, when you involve alcohol, money, and losing, I mean, bad things happen at times, so...
it would never occur to me to pour coffee into a roulette wheel. I mean, that's not, even blind drunk, I wouldn't do that. Well, actually, well, depends how much I lose. Yeah, you've got to tell us, have there been any more people, any more sort of curious eccentrics in your black book?
We have a ton. There are people who actually make money who just live in casinos. They don't actually come with money, and they leave with money. I mean, they just begging people for money all the time. So that makes up a large percentage of the book as well. And again, you know, we've had people break things, try to pick up the roulette wheel, break large glass mirrors.
Break that's things 7 years bad luck. I mean, that's not going to help you in a casino. It's probably the worst place to do it ever. Now, so you got people. I just want to touch on that. I'd never heard of this. I guess it's basically addicts with, you know, gambling addicts who. You know, say, give me 1,000 pesos and I'll win it back for you, or I'll win you 2,000 or whatever, and that's their living sort of thing.
Absolutely. No, or like, I don't know how familiar you are with blackjack, but you have situations where you double down. So let's say you have an 11 and the house is showing a 6, so it's a very profitable situation. Yeah. So you have, they call them patos.
Patos?
Yeah. These people who just, yes, exactly. These people who just live in casinos and so the pato will be at the table and they'll try to give you 5,000 pesos, let him go in your double down with you. It's obviously a great situation, and Colombians let them do it all the time.
Really?
Which I don't understand at all. I mean, when you have 16 against the dealer ace, they're not trying to give you any money yet, but Colombians will often let them do it.
That sounds very strange to me. You know, I would think that it would upset the sort of ambience of the table a bit.
It does, again, and that's why they're in the black book. But I mean, there are some talented patos, I mean, they're always like rooting for you to win, etc. With the idea that if you do win, you're going to give them
something.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, a fascinating job to be involved in here in Colombia. I mean, of all places, you own a casino. I'll just remind you all, we're talking to Dan Kaiser from the Eastern Seaboard of the United States, who was a part owner of the Rockefeller Casino, which is just off the Zona T in the nightlife district of Bogota. And it sounds like a fascinating job to be involved in.
It is. And anyone who's listening, I invite them to come down and say hello, and I'll invite them for a beer.
Oh, there you go. That's the first person in 50 episodes to invite a beer. Well, then, it's a profitable business. The house never loses, as you say, in the long run.
In the long run, exactly.
So, Dan, thank you very much for your time.
No, thanks for having me. It's been a lot of fun.
It's been really interesting to hear about the business here. I've been Richard McCall. This is Colombia Calling. I hope you've enjoyed the show this week. Thank you for listening.